I love the declaration of that song. I am a child of God. And I believe that's a revelation that Papa wants us to lay hold of. Because too many are living like they're somebody else's child. But Papa wants us to know that we're his child, that we're loved. So thank you, Ray, for bringing that song. Papa, as we continue to look into the Word this morning, I pray for an even greater revelation of who we are and whose we are. Lord, that we're no longer a slave to fear, but we are a child of God. Lord, help us to lay hold of that truth, to live out of that identity as your sons and as your daughters. Thank you for it. Amen. Well, we've been doing a series on living as sons and daughters. I've got this week, and I think next week will probably be the last of the series. The series is up on the website if you want to go and listen to any of the previous messages, because I do believe that this is something that Papa wants us to grab hold of so that we live out of our identity as his sons and as our daughters. Because you will act out of who you believe you are. If you see yourself as some dirty, rotten sinner that God is just putting up with, you will sin by faith. Because that's who you believe you are. If you believe that you are God's kid, you'll start living like you're God's kid. And you'll go to do something, you'll say, that's not who I am. I know who I am. I believe this whole world is waiting for the church to realize who they are. But I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. That's more what we're going to be talking about next week. But let's first start with this week. And I really want to start just by recapping a couple of things first, especially if you're here for the first time. Ephesians 1, 5 and 6, having predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters. Don't be worried about the fact that it's just stated as sons. If I'm talking about sons and you're a female here, just realize it includes you. If we're talking about the bride of Christ, I wouldn't try and help the guys get their head around that one. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God wants you. Maybe you are surprised to your parents, but you are no surprise to God. God wants you. You were planned even before any of this world was made. You are wanted. And you are wanted by God himself. And he set this amazing plan in motion where man could have complete freedom. And even knowing that we were going to mess things up horribly, God made this plan so that he would bring us back to himself, but with us still having free choice. Because only true love can be born out of choice. If you tell somebody, you must love me, that won't work. Then it goes on here to verse 6 to say, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. The moment we are born again, we are born into God's family. We become his kid. And not only that, but we have total acceptance. Even though we still mess up, we are still loved. We have the delight of having a little one in the room this morning. You can hear their voice. They are accepted. They're not going to sit on a seat like you and be quiet, because they're still a child. But they are accepted. See, we think that we have to be perfect before God will accept us. You already have total acceptance, because your acceptance is in what Jesus has done on your behalf. It is not on your performance. Your performance may have failed. Your performance may stink. But you are still totally accepted. Why? Because Papa looks at Jesus' performance. And he says, I will make Jesus' performance your performance, so that you can come close. You can know my love, because sin will not separate us anymore. That is Old Testament, to say that our sins separate us from God. That was once true. It is no longer true, because the blood is greater than our sin. And let me say that for you this morning. The blood is greater than your sin. And I feel like there's some people that need to lay hold of that this morning. The blood is greater than sin. Because the blood of Jesus has removed sin. There is no barrier between God and us. That's awesome. That's huge. Let's look at Romans 8, verse 15 and 16. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's a reference to living under the law. I must do this and I must do that. And if I don't do this, God will not accept me. That is bondage, and it produces fear. And that's what we were singing about this morning. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Why? Because I am a child of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You know, the translators could not bring themselves to write Daddy. So they left it in the original language so that we would read it and just skim over it. Because to most of us, the word Abba is just, it's just a word. But the heart of God is that he wants you to be so close and so comfortable in his presence that you can call him Daddy. That's huge. We are talking about Almighty God, creator of the universe. Alex mentioned this morning that when God speaks, his words go forth and they are still going forth. The galaxies are still being made. Why? Because God said, let there be, and there is, and there still is. That is the God that we are talking about, who says, you can come and call me Daddy. I don't know about you, but that boggles my mind. Then he goes even further in verse 16. He says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It's like, you're not going to get this by yourself. In Ephesians, it talks about us knowing a love that is beyond our comprehension. This is the type of love it's talking about. Where God loves you in the midst of your mess, the midst of your humanity, in the midst of your frailty, and says, you're my son, you're my daughter. You are totally loved by a perfect, holy, glorious, awesome God. Wow. Now we're going to start to add to this understanding, and we kind of started last week, but I want to build on it again this morning. And we're going to go into the next verse, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Once we know that we're children, then we start to know that we are heirs. If you know that you have got a good father, the way that you go to ask him for money is totally different from the way you go to a bank manager. Some of you have got that. Great. If we are children, then we are heirs. Everything that Papa has is ours by inheritance. Healing is the children's bread. When you don't know that you're a child, you'll start to beg God for healing rather than receive it as a child. You cannot earn healing. You can only receive it. Because if healing was by merit, none of us would be healed. Healing is part of our birthright. It's part of what belongs to us because we're God's kids. The whole of Matthew 6, Jesus is talking about the way the unsaved lived, and he says that they go after riches. They go after worrying about things like where will we live? What job will we get? How will we make ends meet? What clothes are we going to have? And he says, but you've got a heavenly Father who gives good jobs, who clothes his kids, who takes care of every need of his kids. Why? Because he's a good dad. Ever see kids running around and they're not dressed well, they're and basically in rags? Do you blame the kid? Or do you say, I wonder who the parent is? I believe God wants his kids wandering around and people are going, wow, I wonder whose kid that person is. Most of the body of Christ is scared of being blessed. But we've got a world that wants to know who has a rich daddy. Got an amen from somebody on that one. We are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That means that you are not some add-on into the will. Okay, I leave everything to Jesus. Oh, and by the way, so much to Johnny. You are not an add-on. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you by inheritance. And not only that, you don't receive an inheritance until the person dies, right? Well, Jesus has died. And now he's come back to make sure you get everything that's written in the will. He's not only the one who died, but he's also your advocate, your lawyer, who says, it's already part of the inheritance. Why are you begging for it? It's yours. Papa Papa wants his kids to have his inheritance. But there are some aspects to receiving our inheritance that we need to understand. And that's where we're going to remove the dot, 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 and we're going to look at the rest of the verse. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Papa wants his kids to have their inheritance. But sadly, there are many in the body of Christ who aren't living in the inheritance that Papa has for them. And largely because we don't understand this verse, and we're going to look at it this morning. What is this talking about? Because Papa wants us to walk in our inheritance. Let's start doing so. I like this statement by Bill Johnson. What we need will be provided. What we want, we will have to go after. Papa is a good father, and he takes care of what we need. But there are some things that we want in God that we're going to have to go after and lay hold of. See, in the Bible, it talks about two ways to receive. I haven't put them on, but I'll give you the reference. The first is in Mark 10. This is where we receive as children. We simply come and receive because Papa is a good God. And that's a great way to have the things of God. But there is a second way that we receive. And the reference for that is Matthew 11, where it says, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What you need will come to you, but what you want, you will have to go after. I didn't really think I'd get much in the way of an amen. Let's come back to Romans 8 again, from verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. I want you to notice again that there is talk of children and there is talk of sons. All children have an inheritance. The moment that you are born into the kingdom of God, everything that belongs to Jesus is automatically yours. But to be able to walk in that inheritance, you have to become a son. To become a son is to start to walk in maturity. Now, we've got many parents here. I don't think any of you would have given a chainsaw to a five-year-old. No. No question about that. How many would let a 10-year-old drive the family car? They may be very, very keen. But no, they're not ready. And folks, no 15-year-old is going to be flying a passenger jet. I'm sure you are aware of the fact that most people who win big on lotto, 5 years later, the majority of them are back in the same position financially that they were before they won their lotto. That has been found out statistically. I think it's about 80%. It is a huge number. I might be wrong on that statistic, but check it out. Why? Because they do not have the ability to steward what they have been given. Papa loves and accepts us. And you are totally welcome in heaven, even if you turn up in diapers. But I believe Papa is looking for sons. Ones who will say, I want the things of God. I don't want to just read the book. I want to start living the book. I don't want to just know about healing the sick. I want to heal the sick. I don't want to just receive a prophecy. I want to prophesy. I don't want to just hear about people getting saved over in some far nation. I want to lead somebody to the Lord. I want to witness. I want to know what it is to move in the things of God. I believe all says here that all creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. There is a world out there that is desperate to see those who know what it is to walk in the glory and to reveal Papa God. I don't believe that in this last move that Papa wants to bring to the planet, I don't think it's going to happen through generals. I think it's going to happen through sons. There have been mighty men and women of God. And there are many people out there looking to be the next Wigglesworth. Or the next Catherine Coleman. But creation is looking for the sons. Where are those who will live like Jesus lived and reveal the heart of the Father? There is a price to pay, and it involves maturity. It involves growing. Who found growing up easy? Not one hand. Interesting. Not one hand. There is a cost to growing in God, but it's worth the price. And what I want to look at this morning is I want to start to look at what is it that we pay the price for that we might walk in the glory that God has for us as sons and daughters of God. There's four areas I want to look at, three I will look at this morning. The last one, I want to spend a whole session on. These first two, you probably could have guessed them yourself. First one's persecution. There was a time when we thought that they wouldn't touch our lives very much. Our world has changed. For most of us, persecution just means not being accepted in the workplace. Or your family thinking you're a bit nuts. All of us long to feel accepted. We need to have that need met in our relationship with Papa. We need to build community together so we have that feeling of being loved. Because the moment that you start to love Jesus, you love one that the world hates. And Jesus said, if they hate me, they will hate you. Stop trying to fit in. Just be who you are. I remember when I went to boarding school. Kid from the country. Both of my brothers had already left to go to boarding school. I was a lonely little kid. My last year at primary school, I was the only girl and there was four boys in my class. That was the sum total of my class. So I went to boarding school desperate to make friends. There's only one problem. I loved God. Those first couple of months when I was at boarding school were months where I was very vulnerable. But I know now that it was the Holy Spirit who opened my eyes to see something. See, you take a whole lot of girls, shove them in dorms together that are so small that their wardrobes are out in the corridor and you can walk on the beds around the room. I'm talking bunks. Those were the dorms that I was living in. Emotions get pretty high. You're talking about a bunch of kids that have been taken away from their home. Very soon those emotions start to be expressed in relationships with one another. And you start to end up with the queen bee and her little followers. But God opened my eyes to the fact that even those girls that were in that top group that everybody cowered before, even each one of those had times when they were picked on. And I remember there was this group of three girls and two of them turned against one or the other one. And for about a whole week they made her life hell. And I remember praying and talking to God and saying, everybody gets their turn when they're picked on. And if they're going to pick on me for anything, they might as well pick on me for loving you. And as a young 12-year-old girl, that was when I dug my well and said, if I have to pay the price of not fitting in, I will pay it because I want you. That may be a very real price for you at your workplace or amidst your family. It's worth the price. Well worth the price. 1 Peter 4 from verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. See, the Spirit of glory rests on you. You have God's favour, God's acceptance. But that means that some people aren't going to like you. Joseph wore a coat of many colours. It was the father's declaration of favour. And his brothers made his life hell. See, we all want the favour of God, but favour can get you into trouble. That word accepted in the beloved is the same word that when Gabriel turned up and spoke to Mary and said, favored one. It's the same word. You have that favor on you. And it is a glory that you get to carry for eternity. Don't be worried if it causes a bit of reaction now. Don't lose sight of eternity. And that's what that verse is telling us, that when Christ is revealed, sometimes we get so caught up in the here and now that we lose sight of the fact that there is an eternity. Hold on to that awareness. It makes the now a lot easier to deal with. Okay, second area, temptation. Second thing we all have to deal with. Temptation reveals two things. It reveals your humanity, and we're all very conscious of that. But do you know that temptation also reveals your divinity? Also reveals your divinity. The fact that you have a divine nature on the inside of you. That's why you struggle with temptation. That's why when you say yes, you feel like the pit. Because you have got God's nature on the inside and you are not made for sin. And any time you say yes to it, you will know that's not who I am. And if I can encourage you, learn to say that when you're looking at temptation rather than asking forgiveness for sin. When you are tempted, say, that's not who I am. Live out of your identity. And if that doesn't work, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm being tempted right now. Word says that you will make me willing and able. Right now, I need you to make me willing. The reason the devil fires guilt on us is because guilt separates us from God. In the midst of temptation, stay close. You can stay close, you'll win. Let's go to Hebrews 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him from who are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Temptation is suffering. Verse 18, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are being tempted. Your greatest help in the midst of temptation is Jesus. Don't back away. As I said a couple of minutes ago, the devil puts guilt on us so that we back away from God. In the midst of temptation, recognize that Jesus is right there to help. Not condemn, help. The least we back off, the more we walk in victory. That was a good place to say amen. I know this is not a message that will bring a lot of amens, but that was a good place to have said one. Okay, let's push on to the third area. This is the one I really want to speak about today. It's the whole area of training and discipline. I spent a whole message last week talking about this area because a lot of people equate discipline with punishment. God is not out to punish you. The punishment has already been placed on Jesus. Jesus took it all. But Papa wants us to grow and be trained as his sons. Ephesians 5:1 starts by saying, imitate God as dear children. That's how kids start to learn. That's how they start to grow. They simply imitate. I remember years and years ago now, I'll tell you the rest of the story, you'll know it's years ago. Paul walked in with a little James and put James down on the floor. And for the very first time, he walked. He walked across the back there. And then he fell over onto his hands. Paul was standing there and his grin went from ear to ear. He did not go and gather up James and say, what, you useless little kid, you fell over. Why didn't you keep walking? Saw you do it, just keep doing it. You're hopeless. You think that's what he did? No. He gathered up James and Paul was as proud as anything. Why? Because his son was walking. He was doing what he was made to do. He didn't notice the times he fell. He noticed the times he walked. And your Papa in heaven is doing exactly the same thing. He's not counting the times you fall. He's counting the times you walk. And saying, that's my kid. Go for it. We all fall in many ways. But he's not taking note of it. He's rejoicing when we start to be who we are made to be. Let's read 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 and 25. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. I'm always challenged every time I watch the Olympics. Not because I want to do shot put or swimming or jump hurdles or anything like that, but I look at each and every one of them there and I think, what a price you have paid to be in that arena. About a month ago, I was reading, believe in the Western Leader, local newspaper, about a young girl. She's somewhere between the age of 10 and 12, in that age bracket. She is a junior ice skating champion in New Zealand. Every morning, she is up at 4 a.m. Why? Because she has a dream. Why? Because she is going after something. And the sad thing is that there are many Christians who wake up in the morning and just roll over because they can't be bothered getting up to pray. See, the first two areas, folks, we all get to partake of. there will be people who will not like you because you are a Christian. You will be tempted because you are a Christian. But this area is an area we choose. This is something we have to decide to go after. And this is where we start to decide whether we will live as mere children of God, saying, Papa, just give me a comfortable life. So you can have a comfortable life. As I said earlier, if you turn up in heaven in your little diapers, God will say, great to have you here. But Jesus said, don't store up for yourself treasure on earth. Store up for yourself treasure that will last for eternity. The Bible tells us that one day we will lay our crowns at his feet. What that crown looks like will be determined by how we lived life. The most glorious crown of all will be the martyr's crown. But there is no price that we pay here on earth that will not be rewarded for all eternity. And I believe that one thing the devil wants to do is he wants to blind God's kids to destiny. Proverbs says, without a vision, we will dwell carelessly. We will think just about comfort and ease. You will still go to heaven thinking about comfort and ease. But Revelation tells us that when we get there, Father himself will wipe away our tears. Many of those tears will be because of the things that we went through here on earth. But I believe that there will also be tears of regret. Because for some, when they get to heaven, they will see who they were called to be. They will see what purpose and destiny God put on their life, and they will realize that they traded something of eternal value for the comfort of the now. Folks, it's easy to flick channels, but it's hard to chase a dream. It's our choice. But it's our choice that will live on for eternity. God wants his sons to carry his glory, but he does not give his glory to those who will take it lightly. This is not a whoop-de-doo message, but it is a message that says there is a reward. God is a rewarder. And when we get to heaven, he will reward us for everything, every step that we took in pursuit of him. It's worth the price. It's well worth the price. Philippians 3, verse 12. Paul saying, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Two things. Number one, Paul said, I go after knowing God. Second thing, I go after what it is that he has called me to. I encourage you to make those your pursuit, to know God. And out of that knowing will come a knowing of destiny. There is a glory on you that God wants revealed. But it can only be revealed when you pray the prize to walk in that glory. Salvation is free. Acceptance is free. Glory is not. God is calling his sons to walk in his glory. There is one final area that we will look at next week. It's the whole area of contending. The word contend, it has various meanings. I'm going to quickly read those out for you to give you an idea of what we will zero in on next week. Means to claim that something is true. What do you do when you are living in a circumstance but claiming that something else is true? You are living with sickness and proclaiming healing. There is a contending. Secondly, it means to compete for something, especially a prize or trophy. There is something in life for you to lay hold of. But if you want to lay hold of it, you'll have to contend. Thirdly, to fight with or struggle against somebody or something. Anybody been there? Lastly, to debate or dispute with somebody. Those are the areas that we're going to be looking at next week. We're going to look at what it is to work through those areas and the glory I believe that God wants us to live in because of choosing to go through that process of contending. We can choose comfort. We will still be loved and accepted by God. Or we can choose to run after the things of God. Paul said, I have counted all things as rubbish that I may lay hold of Christ. There's many good things, many things that we can get involved in. But I believe that there's some people here listening to my voice and there's something that God has for you to run after. Don't be distracted. One of the most powerful forces is the force of focus. We will talk about that some more next week. But for now, in our last couple of minutes, I want to give you opportunity to talk to the Lord. Because it's one thing for me to say it, but it's another thing for the Lord to say it. So I've got some suggested questions for you here. Come up with your own or use these as a springboard. Number one, I've been looking for life to be easy. What are your thoughts on that? Ask Papa what he thinks. Secondly, I struggle with rejection and feeling that I don't fit in. What do you say about that? It's a real issue. Don't let the fear of man rob you. Three, when I sin or feel tempted, I want to run from you and hide. Please talk to me about that. Very natural reaction. Find out what the Lord says. Lastly, is there something in my life that is keeping me from pursuing you and the dream for my life? That would be a good question for some of you to ask. I'm going to get John to grab the pad and the pens that are over on the usher's table. If you want pad or pen, put your hand up and John will get that to you. I encourage you, take one of those questions. Ask the Lord. Hear from him. He wants to talk to your heart. So let's spend a couple of minutes doing that. I'm going to close the meeting now. If you want to go through for a cup of tea or coffee, feel free to do so. If you want to stay and keep journaling, feel free to do that as well. If you want prayer, come on forward and love to pray with you.